Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. On this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show, we have an instant response to President Trump's rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He just left the stage. We have the cuts that you want to hear. We have the instant reaction quicker than any other podcast out there. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. We are hosting President Trump this Tuesday in Phoenix, Arizona, June 23rd. You can go to TrumpStudents.org. You can register, get engaged, get involved. We're running out of tickets, so you guys can attend. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. This episode is brought to you advertiser-free by the people that have gone to charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com, and go to the support tab. If you've chipped in $5, $10, $25, we have some $200 a month donors, incredibly generous, that help cover our production costs. So there's no advertisers this episode, no ads that we've partnered with for this episode, because it's brought to you by the amazing patrons that have gotten behind us at charliekirk.com/support. Action-packed episode. Trump is on offense. We're no longer on defense. The Biden campaign is in crisis. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
President Trump is back on offense. On this podcast, we have covered extensively how America is in cultural crisis right now. They are taking down statues of George Washington with no plans to put those statues back up. They have, the left has formed new countries in downtown Seattle, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. We are seeing record amounts of cancellations and digital annihilations. We've been on defense the last couple months, and that defense has come right after we shut down our country. Our country's been shut down for about 100 days. Where President Trump just exited the stage at the rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we're here, right now. We want to give you our analysis quicker than any other podcast out there of exactly what the president said and the significance of it. I could tell you right now, I am so refreshed. I'm filled with new spirit because the president understands, and he could see the anxiety in the eyes of his own followers. And that's what I love about these rallies. It's not just the president speaking. It's also the president listening and internalizing from his base, the proud patriotic Americans that go to these Trump rallies that feel like they are losing their country. In fact, that's one of the things the president said tonight. He said, we got to take our country back from the elites. The president said a lot. And one of the big things is he put forth a separate and distinct and different worldview, so categorically different than that of Joe Biden and the radical Democrats of Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and the arsonists in the streets that are burning down America. President Trump was unafraid to say, in God we trust. One of my favorite lines in the entire speech was near the end, when he said, we stand on the shoulders of heroes. The same heroes that the left are going after in the streets of Seattle and Portland and Boston and Philadelphia. Let's start with this clip. The president said 2020 is going to either be about bowing to the left-wing mob or standing tall as an American. Play tape.
The choice in 2020 is very simple. Do you want to bow before the left-wing mob, or do you want to stand up tall and proud as Americans?
That's President Trump at his best, framing the issue of whether it's going to be you capitulating to this new religion of group humiliation, or standing strong and standing proud to be an American. Now, President Trump said one thing that I don't know if I agree with this in a policy sense. I'm a freedom of speech guy, but metaphorically, I completely agree with what President Trump was saying here. President Trump said that there should be a one-year minimum for anyone that burned the American flag. Play tape.
2 days ago, leftist radicals in Portland, Oregon, ripped down a statue of George Washington and wrapped it in an American flag and set the American flag on fire. Democrat, all Democrat, Everything I tell you is Democrat. And you know, we ought to do something, Mr. Senators. We have two great senators. We ought to come up with legislation that if you burn the American flag, you go to jail for 1 year. 1 year.
Now, again, I think that people should be able to speak freely, even if it is symbology of our country, even if it might be totally gross and disgusting and unspeakable. However, what President Trump is really saying is, it's time we fight back. We draw a line. There's a price to the rioting, to the arson, and to the destruction of America that it will not go unchallenged. That the bitter resentment towards America that is now metastasized and materialized into physical destruction of our monuments, no more of that. That's what President Trump was focusing on. And I can tell you right now, there's a crisis happening in the Biden for America campaign or the Joe Biden for President campaign. Joe Biden realizes that he has to start campaigning now. He's trying to use the media to create cover fire for him. Shut down the rallies, fearmonger around the spread of the virus. And the virus is a real thing. But I do think that the media is participating in fearmongering. I could tell you that we are hosting the president coming up on Tuesday, Phoenix, Arizona. If you guys want to go, it's TrumpStudents.org. You can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. It's June 23rd. We're going to have 3,600 students there from all across the Phoenix metro area and the American Southwest. Media is doing everything they can to misrepresent our event. And Joe Biden is betting that these rallies will not happen. But the president is pushing through. He's pushing through that like a leader does. And he says, I'm going to define the terms of engagement. And you can start to see the media is kind of freaking out. You can start to see the media saying, oh my gosh, our narratives that we've been creating are kind of being challenged now. And that's the beauty of President Trump doing his rallies. He's back on offense. Listen to how the president framed Joe Biden and his relationship with China. Play tape.
He never did anything against China, Joe Biden. And that's why they desperately want him to win. They want him to win so badly. Iran wants him to win so badly. Let me tell you, I'm going to make a very fast deal, the best deal you've ever seen. I've already made one with China, but I can make even more. They want me to lose because they will own the United States if I lose.
President Trump also went after Joe Biden for his segregationist past. Play tape.
Joe Biden is a shameless hypocrite. Since 2003, he has delivered fawning eulogies to the funeral and at those funerals of three leading supporters of segregation, including a former member of the KKK. And yet Biden is now smearing as racist tens of millions of people like yourselves, decent, hardworking Americans, who he's never met, and he frankly probably doesn't want to meet. America should not take lectures on racial justice from Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe. A man who praised and partnered with segregationists, shipped millions of black American jobs overseas, and everyone else's jobs too, by the way. If I didn't come along, we're building auto plants, we're building everything. And there's never been a comeback like we're making right now. Never been.
President Trump is already framing this election as, do you want to restore and rebuild America? Or do you want to have the 40-year failure of former Vice President Biden that was pro-segregation, authored the Clinton crime bill, said that you cannot walk into a 7-Eleven without a slight Indian accent, who's been a bitter racist his entire political career? President Trump is saying, no. President Trump instead is saying my record, for the black community in particular, is far better than that of the radical Democrats. In fact, President Trump said that he did more in 4 years than Joe Biden did for 40 years for black Americans. And he's exactly right. President Trump also was unafraid to talk about what I believe one of the winning issues is. And we talk about this a lot on the Charlie Kirk Show. I've written op-eds about it. I've tweeted about this. We had a whole episode about this. Last week, you can go back in the archives, school choice for black kids. School choice being a civil right. Play tape.
In major city public schools run by Democrats, over two-thirds of students are falling behind in reading and math. And I think the numbers are worse than that. But Democrats would rather deny these children the future they deserve than allow them to attend the charter, public, private, religious, or independent schools of their choice. Pro-choice. Pro-choice. Pro-choice for schools. It's very popular, but some people it's like a disaster because what it does to certain unions that have a lot of power over the Democrats, even though they know it's wrong. Republicans believe access to education is a civil right.
And one of my favorite lines in the entire speech is when President Trump said, "We stand on the shoulders of heroes. We have a history we need to be proud of. We have a heritage that we should teach our children about." That the American history is one of the hero's journey, not one that the left inaccurately depicts that we should just tear it down from within. Play tape.
We believe that children should be taught to love our country, honor our history, and always salute our great American flag. And we live by the words of our national motto, it will never change, in God we trust. We stand on the shoulders of American heroes who crossed the oceans, blazed the trail, settled the continent, tamed the wilderness, dug out the Panama Canal, laid down the railroads, revolutionized industries, won two world wars, defeated fascism and communism, and made America the single greatest nation in the history of the world. And we are making it greater and greater every single day.
And now I want to play the last 2 minutes of the speech, because President Trump, I think, hit his stride. President Trump, throughout the speech, was like, wow, I'm back at a rally. I love this. And, you know, President Trump got better and better, and more energy was coming out of him, and more energy was building in the room as he went on. And you could see that President Trump, at the very end of the speech, almost didn't want it to end. He was like, I wish I had written down more notes. And President Trump, at the end, framed why America's the greatest country in the history of the world. In God we trust. Play the last 2 minutes.
Proud citizens like you help build this country. And together, we are taking back our country. We are returning the power to you, the American people. With your help, your devotion, and your drive, we are going to keep on working. We are going to keep on fighting. And we are going to keep on winning, winning, winning. We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. America will soon be thriving like never before because, ladies and gentlemen of Oklahoma, the best is yet to come. Together we will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you. Thank you, Oklahoma. Thank you.
And now, if you remember back in January or December, President Trump used to ask his followers, should we do Make America Great Again or Keep America Great? Well, now it's back to Make America Great Again because of the virus, because of the lockdowns, because of the riots and the arson. President Trump is now afforded the opportunity to run as an outsider, as an insider. This is where President Trump is at his best. He is not at his best defending the status quo and talking about ventilators. I'm glad that he's able to talk about ventilators. I think that he's done a great job with ventilators. He did mention it in his speech. But President Trump is actually the best offensive player and the best criticizer of a broken system of any politician I've ever seen. He is the best bull in a china shop. And that's why we elected him. We elected him to drain the swamp, to disrupt the status quo, to challenge the kingdom of D.C., to go after the corrupt ruling class and the political elite that have done so much damage to our country. And you could hear that in the last 2 minutes. President Trump was like, "We're back, baby. You are not going to stop this campaign or this movement." And we are hosting him this Tuesday in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're just going to continue the momentum. We are going to continue the momentum of him laying out a vision of positivity, of optimism, of renewal, of restoring America. And again, the Biden campaign knows that they can be in hiding and in the candidate protection program, which is a deviation of the witness protection program, for maybe another week, maybe another 2 weeks. But the more that President Trump gets in front of tens of thousands of people and thousands of activists, it's going to be harder and harder for Joe Biden to continue to have a socially distanced press conference with six people that show up. No energy, no enthusiasm. President Trump will be richly rewarded politically if he keeps this up. I know it's hard right now because the media is saying, what about the virus? What about the lockdowns? Don't you care for other people? But the more he pushes through, the more that he stays focused on truth and on defining the election, I'm telling you right now, he will be rewarded because of that. They are doing this because they want President Trump to stay quarantined. They want President Trump to stay stationary. They want President Trump to stay sedentary. We have to understand the American story is one of pride, strength, and triumph, not fear, shame, or apologizing that Joe Biden's trying to articulate. Do you think Joe Biden could have a rally that's even one-tenth the size of what President Trump had tonight? When Joe Biden does a live stream, he can't even get 1,000 people on it. Now, look, the Democrats are going to try to cheat their way to victory, but President Trump getting back in front of people, I'm honestly fired up. You can probably hear it in my voice. Because as I've said in previous podcasts, it's hard fighting this culture war alone when the president is not really dictating the terms of engagement, when the activist media is the one that's dictating what's happening, the corporations are the one that are funding Black Lives Matter time and time again. It's hard to continue to fight when you're not getting the backup that you think you have, that when you're not getting the backup that, quite honestly, you need. And by the way, some people are going to say, well, it was smaller than would have been expected. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, the media did everything they possibly can to propagandize people to say it wasn't safe to go. And let's see what Biden can do in the middle of a pandemic. Let's see if Biden can have more than 100 people. And he won't. The Biden campaign will refuse to engage. No Trump event to date has been attacked as much as this event. And yet President Trump fought through it, and he will be richly rewarded politically because of that. We actually caught up with Congressman Jim Jordan, who was live at the Tulsa rally, to tell us what he was feeling on the ground, his thoughts on the direction of the conservative movement. The great Congressman Jim Jordan, who fights every single day for our country, for freedom, for liberty, against the D.C. ruling elite. He's one of the few guys in Congress that actually gets it and has actually exposed the fraud of the American left. We caught up with him by phone right before the president took the stage. Let's listen in. Congressman Jim Jordan, he is live from the Tulsa rally, and you might hear some of that amazing excitement in the background. Congressman, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Yeah, good to be with you, Charlie. Thanks for all you're doing for the cause, brother.
Well, thank you. So tell us what it's like on the ground in Tulsa. It sounds like it's a kind of a higher energy gathering than what Joe Biden had when he had five people socially distanced in a room. Give us a firsthand report.
Joe Biden catering to the cancel culture of the radical left who want to defund the police versus the president doing what he said and having a huge rally here in Tulsa. And you can, you're right. The energy, and this is the launch of the Great American Comeback. This is the relaunch of the campaign. After this virus thing we've been through. So lots of people, and people waited like 3 or 4 days on the sidewalk to get into this thing. That's the demand. That's the connection this president has with the American people.
Yeah, it's incredible. So some people are criticizing the rallies. We're hosting the president in Phoenix, Arizona on June 23rd. I've had to battle a couple reporters back and forth, but that's nothing new, and we embrace it. What's your thoughts on these rallies, Congressman? It's about time we have a conversation around freedom and responsibility in our country. I think it's long past time to have these gatherings and tell people to be responsible and to make informed choices. Yeah. What's your interpretation of all this?
No, you're exactly right, Charlie. The left only wants to criticize when conservatives get together to rally for President Trump and to defend their liberties. Remember up in Michigan? When people said, hey, we should be able to open our business, we should be able to go to church, we should be able to not close gun shops so we can exercise our Second Amendment rights, and that was terrible. But now the last several weeks, we've seen all kinds of protests in the streets protests that weren't necessarily focused on some of the same things that that conservatives were, and protests that unfortunately turned violent and rioting in some of those. But that somehow that was no problem with the coronavirus. So this double standard is just ridiculous. Americans see through it. And like you said, it's time to get the country moving, to do it in the smartest way as possible, but to get the country moving, and the president understands that.
Yeah, and we do it responsibly, and we have people that are at risk shelter in place, and we make responsible choices of who we see when we see them. However, you know, we're hosting a student event, Congressman. We'll have 3,600 students, and it's the least at-risk, you know, demographic by far when it comes to the virus. And, you know, the young people have really... You know, everyone has had their life changed, but young people in particular, I think, have had a disproportionate impact. You have their spring sports, their prom, their commencement, their jobs, their internships, you name it. So, Congressman, I'm hearing from a lot of people, and you're an exception to this criticism. People are really kind of looking for Republicans to fight right now. It seems like we're just kind of letting the left you know, dictate the terms of engagement, and we're playing defense. I think where you are right now in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the moment where we go back on offense. Can you comment on that? Because I'm hearing a lot of people have that sentiment.
No, you're exactly right. And take just the radical positions that Democrats have adopted this Congress. They started this Congress off by saying they wanted to abolish ICE, and then they moved to we want to abolish the Department of Homeland Security, and now they're talking about defunding and abolishing police departments. And when you have the left and the Democrat Party embracing the left in these radical positions, we have to push back, Charlie. We have to stand up for our fundamental liberties. Bill Barr said during the coronavirus 2 months ago, he put out a memo and he said the Constitution is not suspended during a crisis, and I say amen to that. This great country, the greatest nation ever, built on those fundamental liberties and freedoms outlined in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, we should stand up for those. And when we see what's happening right now in the country, tearing down George Washington's statue in Portland, Oregon, doing the crazy things we see on the left, of course we have to push back. And I think you're right. I think today marks the point. This is where we say, and this is enough. Time to push back and reassert what makes this country the special place that it is.
Yeah, and I'm confident the president's going to do that tonight. I mean, they're stealing our culture, Congressman, and you're fighting. You really are. There aren't enough of you that are standing up and saying, no, you're not going to take down these statues. You are not going to cancel people that say things that are, you know, not controversial. And the left is coming on a total campaign right now, the likes of which we've never seen this level of aggression. But I think it's because that we haven't had our rallies. We haven't had our political infrastructure in place. Yep. And the president is the best offensive political player that we've ever seen, you know, in the modern era. So you're from the great state of Ohio. Tell us what you feel and what you see in Ohio. Ohio is critical to the presidency. Some people are taking it for granted as a deep red state. What are you seeing and hearing in Ohio?
People are so tired, as you said, the cancel culture left and what they're trying to do. And they're saying, look, last week when it was a flag day, people putting out the American flag, and guess what, Charlie, right beside it, Trump flag. Because they are tired of what the media says about President Trump. They are tired of the press calling us, regular Americans, normal American families, calling us all kinds of names, and they said enough is enough. And you know what else they're tired of? This impacts you. This impacts young Americans probably more than anyone you think long term. They're tired of these big companies, these big tech companies, censoring conservatives. 2 years ago, four of us got shadow banned by Twitter. Gates, Meadows, Nunes, Jordan. Four conservatives. 2 weeks ago, the president gets censored by Twitter. Two days ago, the journalist gets demonetized by Google. And it's all conservatives they come after. So we got to push back on that as well. Because if they get control of all that and they can censor conservatives, where do young people go? You've all grown up with these social media platforms. So this is scary stuff. And why this president is so darn important, so important that he win, and so important that we support him and push back on what the left is doing.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, Congressman. And so is there anything specifically that you think we can do legislatively? I mean, I have called for inquiries in all this, and I want to thank you for mentioning it because so many members of Congress are afraid to take on these tech giants and these tech titans. And, I mean, you're right there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They're trying to prevent the president, who's about to speak there, from tweeting out videos that are non-controversial. Twitter's censoring those videos. So what do you think legislatively we can do also that are, you know, is harmonic with our principles?
It's real simple. You censor conservatives, there's got to be consequences. You start censoring people, there's got to be consequences. Look, you censor anyone, there should be consequences. But we all know it's only one direction. It's only censoring conservatives. So there has to be consequences if you're making those kind of decisions. And that's exactly what we're seeing. So I'm not sure exactly what the remedy is. we can look at the Section 230 issue and others, but you have to be held responsible. There has to be implications, ramifications, and consequences if you're doing what we know they are now doing, and it looks like they're doing it in a systematic way, and it's only one direction, towards conservatives.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, in closing, Congressman, what are the big themes you think we have to capitalize on? The polls haven't been good. I don't believe the polls, but the polls that are coming out have us down a little bit. And honestly, I think a shot in the arm wouldn't be the worst thing for us because, you know, I think complacency is the gateway to defeat and let the left think that they're up and we're going to organize and work like, you know, never before. But what do you think the big messages are that we have to capitalize on? A lot of our listeners are the frontline activists. We have hundreds of thousands of people that listen to this program that are young patriots that want to help and want to get involved. What are you hearing and seeing? What do we have to focus on?
Well, first of all, you're right. The president was down in every single poll going into November 8, 2016, and we all know what happened then. So that same dynamic is in play here. I think the choice is clear. You got Joe Biden in his basement, catering to the cancel culture left, the same radical left who wants to defund the police, same radical left who wants to raise your taxes, take away your health care, cut our military, on and on you could go. That's Joe Biden versus President Trump, who has taken on the swamp, and in spite of a relentless pushback from the swamp, cut taxes, reduce regulations, before the coronavirus, had the best economy we've ever seen, lowest unemployment in 50 years, put Gorsuch and Kavanaugh on the court, out of the Iran deal, embassy in Jerusalem, hostages home for North Korea, and your trade deal. So who do you want as your president? Who can lead the great American comeback? Joe Biden from his basement or Donald Trump who's taken on the swamp? It's that simple.
Well said. Well, Congressman, enjoy the rally. Thank you for joining us today. Anything else you want to mention or things that you're seeing or hearing?
Thank you. What you're doing is so darn important, and American people appreciate it. The country appreciates it. So we appreciate all the great work you guys are doing. And just keep it up, brother.
All right. Enjoy the rally. Support our president. Thanks, Congressman. Right, Talk to you soon. It was great hearing from Congressman Jordan. We also caught up with Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, who represents a part of the Phoenix metro area. And that's actually where we're hosting the president this coming Tuesday. If you guys want to come to the rally, email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. We will steer you in the right direction. You go to trumpstudents.org, trumpstudents.org. And remember, this episode is brought to you advertising free by those of you that have gone to charliekirk.com and have supported our show. You go to charliekirk.com/support. Chip in $5, $10. We actually have some people that chipped in $200. God bless you and thank you for that. We're able to bring this episode advertising free thanks to those of you that support it. We caught up with Congresswoman Lesko by phone as well. Listen in. Today, I'm honored to be joined by Congresswoman Debbie Lesko. Congresswoman, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Oh, it's great to be on with you. I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, I understand you are currently in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as this conversation is happening. I hear there's something happening in Tulsa. I hear that it's maybe a couple people are gathering to hear something. What's the feel on the ground? I mean, the media is making it seem as if this is an awful thing that's happening. You're right there on the front lines. Tell us what's happening.
Oh, I went outside for a while, and there's throngs of people. They're all excited. They love Donald Trump. They're wearing Donald Trump T-shirts, hats, you name it. They have flags that they're flying. This is an exciting, energy-filled Oklahoma. Oklahoma loves Donald Trump.
It's incredible. Well, Tuesday, we have our event with Turning Point Action, Students for Trump, that we are hosting the president in Arizona. We hope that you'll be able to make it there as the president comes to the great state of Arizona. What are your thoughts on these events? A lot of people are coming under attack and scrutiny for hosting them. We are definitely battling the media every day. They are trying to criticize us for hosting this event. What are your thoughts? You're a member of Congress. You're a supporter of the president. What's your response to a lot of those criticisms?
You know, they're going to criticize us no matter what we do. That's what the Democrats and the liberals do. They try to bully us. They try to silence us. But Donald Trump knows, and the rest of us know, we will not be silenced because we're standing up for the values that have made our nation great. And if we let these people get their way, our country is going to be ruined. So I'm glad that we're having the rally here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and that we're having a rally in Arizona. The president's campaign has handed out masks to everyone and hand sanitizers. And so people are excited, trying to stay safe. But, you know, listen, There's marches going on all over the nation, protests going on, and the left-wing media doesn't complain about them, but they complain about people getting together because it's Donald Trump, because they don't like Donald Trump, and they want to regain power, and they will do anything to stop President Trump.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. So generally, it seems that the media is so determined to destroy the president. I mean, they were silent on a lot of these protests, despite them not being socially distanced, and highly critical now of these Trump gatherings. So it seems like a lot of, you know, the conservative movement and Republican movement needs to kind of reorganize at this point, and having the president back out in front of the people and rallying is critical. What is your thoughts on how things are trending? Arizona is a battleground state. It is where we have our organizational headquarters for our educational arm, Turning Point USA, and also our C4, Turning Point Action and Students for Trump. What are your thoughts? It seems like the polls are tightening. Arizona is a critical state. You represent it. Tell us your thoughts on how things are going.
Oh, I believe that Arizona is going to vote for President Trump and reelect President Trump. You know, Joe Biden, I still can't believe that the Democrat voters picked him because he is so low energy. And really, it's kind of sad because he has a hard time, you know, putting two sentences together sometimes and answering questions. And so I really was shocked that they picked him because he's had 40 years of a record and he hasn't done much. And you have President Trump who's been in there doing what he said he's going to do. I mean, we had a booming economy before the coronavirus hit, and President Trump is the only candidate that can get us back to where we were. I'm very confident about it. I mean, you see what Biden, he shows up to meetings and does this social distancing thing. And, you know, what was there, five people there or something?
That's record attendance for a Biden rally.
People.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, there is no comparison. I would be totally shocked if President Trump didn't win re-election. And that's what just about everybody, you know, in the media against him, the liberals against him. I mean, he has to battle all of that, and I still believe he's going to win just like he did last time.
Yeah. So there's a lot of growing unease in our country about the lack of law and order. I mean, in Scottsdale, for example, it seems like the rioters went to Scottsdale Fashion Square, and many of them were not even held accountable for what they did. And that's not in the fabric of Arizona. I know there were plenty of arrests, but there were also a lot of people that got away with what they stole and what they did and what they destroyed. And I was stunned being in Arizona, seeing that happen and just knowing people's businesses that were ransacked and destroyed. A lot of people feel like the Republican Party is not fighting for them. They feel like the president is, but it just seems like that there's just a lack of intensity right now. And I know you're one of the few people that are fighting for what is good and for what is true in Washington, D.C. What are your thoughts on the growing lawlessness in America and the culture war that is raging right now in our country?
Well, this is an excellent example between what Democrats believe in and what Republicans believe in. I am a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and last week we sat through a hearing about the Democrats' bill. They didn't reach out to Republicans at all. There's some features of the bill on policing reform that Republicans could support, but they inserted a whole bunch of liberal stuff that law enforcement had said would take away their ability to do their job. And, you know, and so I introduced an amendment that basically said, okay, cities that allow this lawlessness and autonomous zones that are cop-free zones are not going to get federal grants for law enforcement. Kind of common sense, right? Oh, no, the Democrats chastised me, called me basically racist, all kinds of things. We had Democrats claiming that there was just poetry reading there. Congresswoman Jayapal said there was no takeover at all in Seattle. And I was like, what about the police precinct that they took over? These people are so liberal. They're so radical. And Joe Biden is right there with them. I mean, if we allow them to control the U.S. House of Representatives, as they do now when they're passing these crazy liberal bills, and then if the Senate turns Democrat, and if Biden gets in, can you imagine all these radical bills that give free things to illegal immigrants, that open the border, that basically regulate everything about our lives, increase taxes? All that is going to become law, and all the things that President Trump has done are going to be erased. We cannot let this happen to our country. That's why this election is so important. And that's why I am so happy that you're involved and Students for Trump is involved. And yes, I plan on being in that rally, and I'm super excited about it.
Well, that's terrific. Yeah, and it just seems as if the anarchists and the Democrats, they are working in one. It's interesting what you just mentioned. I want to make sure I heard it correctly, that you were trying to make sure that if these zones declare themselves autonomous, that they wouldn't get federal grants for law enforcement. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the Democrats shot it down. They did not vote for it. Another amendment that I introduced was, if a city votes to defund, dismantle, or disband the police department, they shouldn't get federal grants for law enforcement. They shut that one down,
well,
too.
Isn't that what they want? Don't they want the defunding of the police? Don't they? I mean, that's what I'm kind of perplexed by. They're defunding their local police, but then they say, keep on sending us federal dollars. I'm not really sure. I thought that's the whole point, is that they don't want any law enforcement.
They don't make any sense. Could I just tell you, I work there, and just like President Trump says, I didn't know it was so bad in Washington, D.C. Many of these Democrats, they have no common sense. They say they're so radical, so out of touch with where most Americans are. And the reason that most of America doesn't realize that Republicans are fighting for them, like me and others, is because the media won't cover it. They won't cover it. Then they have Twitter, Google, everything in their pockets, the Democrats do. So they censor us there. Thank God they're not taking down President Trump's Twitter account, which there's some Democrats in Homeland Security Committee, of which I'm a member. They have said to Twitter, we want you to take down President Trump's Twitter account because we believe he's a terrorist. I mean, these people are nuts. That's the only way I can say it. Some of these Democrats are just plain nuts.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. So for the young students listening to this, they're up against opposition. We have tens of thousands of high school kids that listen to this program very intently, and they're called names just like you are, and they're criticized. What's your practical advice to them of how to stand up against the mob, stand up against the condemnation that comes for being a conservative and being a Trump supporter?
Hang in there, because the more they complain, the more the left and the Democrats bully you, the more you know that you're striking a nerve and that you're winning. And, you know, this has taken me years to get used to people calling me all kinds of names, wishing I was dead, those type of things. But you know what? We need to win, because it's our country at stake. And so thank God for these students that are out there listening to your program, because they care about our country. We cannot let bullies tell us what to do. We cannot be silenced. And that's why I tell the silent majority, I tell adults this as well, we can no longer be silent, because if we continue to be silent and let these radicals and liberals bully us and censor us, our country's future is going down the tubes.
Yeah, I agree. So how do we practically turn these polls around? I know that I don't believe all these polls, but some of them, even some of the internals that have been made public, aren't exactly going in the right direction. What practically do you think we need to do to kind of give a little shot in the arm, a stimulus, if you will, to be able to get the president numbers up, and also, you know, hopefully retire Nancy Pelosi, which would be nice. And I know you have to deal with that whole pack of apparatchiks every single day. So in order to, turn that around, what do you think we have to do practically so that we can reclaim the House?
I think we need to do just what you are doing, and that's getting our word out, and other conservative groups and other conservative media sources getting the word out, because the other media, the liberal media, is not going to do it for us. They are in the pocket of the Democrat Party and are doing everything that they can to take back power. And that's what this is about. It's about taking back power. They want power to implement all these radical ideas. And so we just need to talk to people. Most people do not realize the radical bills that the U.S. House of Representatives is passing, because there's more Democrats than Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives. And so they have the Speaker of the House. They have all the chairman of the committee. They set the agenda. They pass radical bills, and the Senate stops them because they're Republican. Most people do not understand the basics of how it works, and it's really, quite frankly, about math. You need more Republicans in the House, you need more Republicans in the Senate to have a majority to make sure that our country stays on track. Because if we lose that and they get the power, they're going to implement all these radical ideas. And so I think it's education, quite frankly. It's education, doing what Trump is doing now, which is starting the rallies back up. I think I still have faith in the American people, that what they see out there, this lawlessness, and the liberals supporting this chaotic things. I had Jamie Raskin, who's a congressman, a Democrat congressman, staying in Judiciary Committee. He's perfectly fine with the lawlessness in Seattle. I mean, seriously, most people do not realize how radical Democrats have become.
Yeah. Well, in closing, tell us your experience with President Trump, your favorite story with President Trump. It's something that I try to do on this show, is tell real stories that humanize the president, because I've had a great opportunity to get to know him. Tell us what your interactions with him have been, how they're different than how the media portrays it, and maybe your favorite Donald Trump story.
Well, what's interesting is I never thought that I would be in Congress to begin with, and so my life has been very blessed. And so I remember that the first dinner I went to after I was sworn into Congress, President Trump was introducing the Congress members that were there, and he didn't really know me. And so he introduced my husband as the congressman. He said, "Congressman Joe Lesko and Debbie." And so it went from that. And then less than 2 years, I was on Judiciary Committee standing up against the impeachment. He saw that I had a passion in me. And then I became one of eight U.S. Congress members to be on his impeachment defense team. And now he calls me Debbie. He knows me by sight. And the day after he was acquitted, he had a press conference in the White House, and he said such nice things about me. I mean, they were very touching. I actually, my cheeks turned a little red. I was a little, you know, embarrassed. It was like gushingly nice. And I just stood there and believed, thank you, God, because here I am. I didn't even think I would be in U.S. Congress. And I have the President of the United States telling me what a great job I've done and how I'm working to save the country. And it's very humbling, and I'm very blessed.
Well, God bless you for what you're doing for our country. And thank you for fighting so hard. And we will see you Tuesday. And if anyone wants to join, go to TrumpStudents.org. We are hosting the president in Phoenix, Arizona. 3,600 students will be in the room, and we can't wait to see you, Congresswoman. So thank you so much, and keep up the fight. And as you can hear, the recurring theme is that Trump is back on offense. If you're listening to this and you've been a little bit, I don't know, cynical, negative, pessimistic, now's the time for us to get back on offense. The president is on the attack, metaphorically, of course. Joe Biden is on defense. Our country is worth saving. Our country is worth fighting for. Liberty, freedom, in God we trust, e pluribus unum. We are going to stand and fight for America. And if they take us down, I will be on my feet, not on my knees. If you guys want to join the event on Tuesday, go to TrumpStudents.org. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Again, thank you. If you are one of the people that help support this show on charliekirk.com, charliekirk.com/support, you guys get a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. If you guys chip in even $2, $5, charliekirk.com/support, the first 10 people that do that get a guaranteed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. But thank you guys. It helps cover our production costs. We're doing this 7-8 hours every single day, 7 podcasts a week at least. Actually, my goodness, no, that's probably 14 to 15 podcasts a week. We're going 7 days a week. We are doing more podcast content than any other team out there. So thank you guys. So go to charliekirk.com. This show is brought to you advertising free by our amazing patrons that help cover our costs. God bless you. President Trump is back on offense. We are going to win. They are going to lose. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much.